Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For games one, which is today, and game two tomorrow, the Yes Network will have Bob Lorenz, Buck Showalter, John Flaherty, and Jack Curry. They're going to be in studio. And on the site in Houston, Texas, will be Michael Kay, Meredith Marakovich, and this guy, a guy who is a part of all those late 90s Yankee championship teams, and that is Jeff Nelson. Jeff, Evan Roberts, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. How's the weather in Houston, by the way, right now?
Well, I guess it really doesn't matter because they're playing a dome, so the weather's great all the time.
Yeah, but it matters.
Maybe, you know, 60.
You know why? You know why I ask that? Because obviously it doesn't. I've been to Houston a couple of times for a baseball game, and one time the dome was open, one time it was closed, and it was weird because it felt like a completely different stadium. But I ask because you're getting to enjoy that city, and when I was there, it was 94 degrees and humid. The weather was the worst thing I ever experienced, and I figure now in October, it is certainly not that.
No, but it's going to heat up next week when we're already gone. So I think it's going to be high 60s. 70 these next 2 days, so perfect.
That's not too bad.
No.
What did you think of the decision that Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman made on how they're lining this rotation up? A little different from the divisional series. They flip-flopped Tanaka and Paxton. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's perfect. I think Tanaka gives them the best opportunity to win game one. Nothing against Paxton and Severino. I thought Tanaka actually was going to start the division series in game one, but he chose to go the other way. I'm glad he's going Tanaka game one.
He has been, you know, the comparison I always like to use is he's El Duque. I mean, he's an okay regular season pitcher. His numbers are all right. He has his bad moments. He has his good moments. But in the 6-7 starts now he's made in the playoffs, Jeff, it's like El Duque where he flips a switch and all of a sudden he's an ace.
Right. And I'd like it because, I know he hasn't done very well on the road during the regular season. But, you know, you throw all those numbers out because this is the postseason and he does have great postseason numbers. And my feeling is tonight, game one, out of any other game ones I think the Yankees have ever played, this is the most important to win. Only because of who the Astros have after Greinke. They have Verlander and Cole, and they're very tough. And I think the Yankees can beat them, but I think you can get to Greinke tonight, and I think you can win game one, and I think Tanaka gives them the best opportunity to do that.
No question. I completely agree. One El Duque question. When did you realize he was so money in the playoffs? Because that first postseason start he ever made was such a big moment against the Indians in the LCS in 98. None of us knew what to expect, and it turned out to be a sign of things to come for him.
Nothing bothers him. You know, he's a guy. I mean, look where he came from. He came from Cuba, so obviously it can't get any worse than where he came and how he came over to America. So pitching in a big game was probably nothing to him, but he was so fun to watch. You know, his emotions were always the same. You didn't know if he had a good game or a bad game, and he loved to compete. El Duque loved to compete. And, you know, he was big time. He showed up when we needed him the most.
What are your thoughts right now on where Luis Severino is? He obviously missed the bulk of the year, comes back in September, threw the ball well. We saw him obviously in game three against Minnesota where it was impressive how good he was just getting out of bad situations. I mean, he wasn't dominant, but, man, he made the big pitch when he had to. What do you think about where Luis is right now?
Hopefully that outing against the Twins and the two times, you know, the second inning when he got out of the bases loaded, nobody out, and he had two key strikeouts to end that inning. And then the third inning as well, he had first and second and easily could have had bases loaded then got out of that jam. If the Twins scored in any one of those innings, I think that feeling of, here we go again, my postseason struggles are starting to come back. He got out of that jam and he pitched a really good game. And hopefully he can build off of that and take that into this series against Houston and put all the demons behind him, put them all, you know, just forget everything of what happened in the past. He had an electric fastball, and that's what he pitches off of. He made his pitches. His breaking ball was outstanding. He's going to get his next start at home, which hopefully he can feed off the crowd. Yes, you're going up against Garrett Cole, but really, you know, you just go and pitch your game. So I think that outing against the Twins really helped him.
What did you think about how aggressive Boone was in going to the bullpen and then pulling guys out of that pen, like Adam Ottavino twice, got one hitter early in the game, walks Nelson Cruz, and Boone said, hey, I'm not messing around. I'm going to my next arm. He was very aggressive with his bullpen usage. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he did a great job because, you know, game three, you don't want to give the Twins any kind of breathing room. You just want to end it right there. And he did everything he could to try to end that game and have a sweep. And I thought he did a great job with the bullpen and putting in guys in right situations. Now, he did fire through three of your best relievers in one inning when he went to Ottavino and also Canely and Green. You kind of hopefully want to stay away from that in this series. But he did a great job to get what he needed out of his starters and then go right to that bullpen. He did have a lot of days rest, so that helped him. And then also you have 4 days rest going into the series. I think going into this league championship series against the Astros, I think you need a little bit more out of your starters. If you look at game two, I think Tanaka probably could have went six instead of pulling them after five. So maybe that's something you look to and say, okay, maybe Tanaka gives you more. And then you can eliminate some of the outs the bullpen might have to have. But Ottavino needs to step up as well. He can't come in against some of these righties and walk guys, and the next thing you know, you have to put Canely in or somebody else. So I think you need some length out of him and also Canely, and now to your starters.
The roster hasn't come out yet. It should come out in the next half hour or so, and we're talking to Jeff Nelson. It sounds as if CC is going to be added to the roster. How would you use CC Sabathia in this series?
Well, the one thing I like about CC is that nothing bothers him, and he's always a big game pitcher. You know, I wish he would have stayed healthy at the end of the year because, you know, I memories of the Cleveland game and how he pitched and how well he pitched, he just left it out on the field. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and you love that about him. I wish he was healthy to end of the year. Then he could have been maybe an impact guy in the postseason, whether it's out of the bullpen or even give him a start, give him three or four innings. I think he might have been able to do that as well. Well, you know, how's he going to be used? You know, hopefully he is healthy and he can come in and maybe get a Michael Brantley out, maybe get a Reddick out or an Alvarez, a key lefty.
Yep.
In a situation, I think that's probably how they're going to use him. And if he's added, I'm sure maybe Lyons is probably the guy that's odd man out.
I'm with you. That's how I would use him. And it reminds me of David Cone in 2000. I mean, David had a terrible regular season that year. He was 37 years old, but he's still David Cone. You know, he's still he's still Coney. And I remember, I didn't enjoy it, Jeff, but I remember Joe Torre coming out to the mound, Shea Stadium. And he pulls out Denny Nagel to go to David Cone to get Mike Piazza out.
Yes.
And he got him to pop up to second base. So I could see that with CC Sabathia.
Yeah, I could too. And that's the thing. You know, big moments didn't really bother David Cone. And I don't think they bothered CC Sabathia. So that's one thing you like about it, the experience level. And when he has to be put into a situation that, hey, get me out of a jam. You know, he's not going to have the jelly legs, and he's not going to, you know, seem to be bothered by that situation.
How much, you know, talk about experience. This Yankee team now has a lot of playoff experience, not just the veterans like Edwin Encarnacion and guys like that, but Aaron Judge experienced 2017. Didi Gregorius experienced 2017, a seventh game in Houston. How much do you think all of this playoff experience the Yankees have gathered between 17 and even last year losing to Boston helps them as they prepare for this rematch with the Astros?
Well, I think they went into the Twins series with a little chip on their shoulder from the Red Sox series last year. And I think they should feel the same way going against Houston after they beat them in 2017. And you go back to 2017, you had a very inexperienced Judge, Sanchez, and it really showed. You know, they were really aggressive at the plate. There was a lot of strikeouts between those two guys. And them having that experience, those 2 years of 17 and 18, really showed me something against Minnesota. They were very patient. Obviously, you know, the Twins were way outmatched, and, you know, you have to throw strikes. It's easy to be patient when guys aren't throwing strikes. But at the same time, the confidence level looked like it was there, you know. And I think that's going to play a huge part because you're going to get pitched differently. You have a lot of guys on that Houston Astro starting rotation that throw strikes, and they know how to pitch you. And they're not afraid either. But the one thing that I like about the Yankees and Aaron Judge and Aditi and a Sanchez is that they have been there before, and I think they've learned from it, and it definitely showed against Minnesota.
And they have to be so selective with Colin Verlander. You mentioned they throw strikes, but we don't live in a world in which they're going to let Justin Verlander throw 150 pitches. They may let him throw 115, but it's not going to get to 150, and I think that's what they got to do to get these guys out of the game and get to the Astro bullpen and have those grinded out at-bats, which they've been so good at having. I mean, kind of like Edwin Encarnacion, too. He's a battle every time he's up there. Fallon pitches off. So, I mean, I think they got to find a way to get their pitch counts up so they should just get not have to face him and get to the Astro bullpen.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, it's tough to try to get their pitch count up when they're throwing strikes like they have been when they played against the Rays. And, you know, Cole has just been, I mean, he's been unreal. And, you know, Verlander on the short day's rest, I mean, wasn't as effective his second time against the Rays. But when they're throwing strikes, it's kind of hard to get their pitch count up. Now, I never hit the high pitch. The thing that I'm looking for, and, you know, you look at Cole, you look at Verlander, and even Greinke on occasion, he only throws 88, 90. They'll get ahead of you, and they like to climb the ladder. They like to throw the fastball up, and they get a lot of swings and misses. You look at what Cole did against the Rays. He got a lot of swing and misses, not just with that breaking ball, with the high fastball. And that's, I think, a key point, that if the Yankees do get behind in the count, to try not to help them out and try not to swing at that high fastball. I've never had to do it, so I know it's got to be tough, because, heck, I've used it on guys, too, when I've pitched against them.
Sure.
You know, everything down, 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 then you're raising the eye level, and it's awful tough to stay off that pitch. But those two guys, Verlander and Cole, love to pitch upstairs, and if they can somehow lay off of that pitch, and like you said, maybe get into some deep counts and get into the Astros bullpen, because that's the ultimate goal, is get their best starters out of there so you can get into those middle guys.
You know, what's funny looking at Verlander and Cole is that the Yankees have seen Verlander a million times. A lot of guys have a ton of experience against him. Cole is a little bit more of a mystery. They've only faced him one time in the last 5 years, because I don't even count, you know, when he was with the Pirates in 2014. Who does that help? Does that help Cole? Does that help the Yankee hitters, the unfamiliarity factor?
Well, it usually helps the pitcher, because when a hitter hasn't faced a pitcher, it usually plays in the pitcher's advantage, because you don't know. You can look at videos, you can look at scouting reports, but until you're up there at the plate, you have no idea. You know he has a good fastball. You know he throws 99. You know he has a good slider. But until you're up there against him, you really don't know what that looks like or what kind of slider that really looks like. Now, as a reliever, it's a little bit easier, because I'm only seeing that guy that I haven't faced before once, and I know I have the advantage against him. A starter, you know, you go through the lineup one, you know, the first time, the 1 through 9, maybe it's that second time, maybe you're able to get to him. But usually it's always a starter. But, you know, they have so much information, and maybe that second, third time around, maybe they're able to get Cole. Maybe they go into New York and they're up 2-0, and all of a sudden Cole's back, you know, it's backed up against the wall, and maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe the Yankee fans go out. It's very intimidating at Yankee Stadium, and I'm sure it's going to be loud there in Game 3 when Cole is pitching.
Yeah, and he hasn't seen it. I mean, he has seen it just sitting in a dugout, but I think he's only pitched there one time. And again, it was when he was with the Pirates 5 years ago. A little bit of a different atmosphere. Yeah, yeah. Very, very different world. What would you do with Aaron Hicks? I mean, we know how good he is, but he hasn't played in 2 months. Any concern putting him back on the roster and even putting him back in the lineup when he hasn't seen live pitching in that long a period of time?
Right. They didn't play Tyler Wade at all against Minnesota, so I imagine he may be the guy out. And, you know, they're going to come in and they've been replacing Stanton late innings with Maven. And Maven's been doing a nice job. You know, he's come in, filled in well. He's not going to hurt you in the outfield. He even had a home run in Game 3. With Hicks not playing, you know, I don't know how much he's going to be used. He is a really good player when he's healthy. You know, he signed that big contract for a reason. So I think you pitch him. I think you play him sparingly, and maybe – I don't know what you're going to get out of him for a guy that hasn't played in 2 months. I think it's probably more of a confidence level with Aaron Boone putting a veteran guy like Hicks in instead of maybe a young guy like Tyler Wade.
What's your feeling? You think we're looking at a 7-gamer here?
You know, I think everybody thinks it's going to be a long series. I think the Yankees has a chance to take them in 5. Only because I think Greinke really doesn't scare me in Game 1. That's why I think the Yankees, this is the most important game. I think they win tonight. I think they can get to Verlander. I don't know if they're going to beat Cole. But then you get their fourth starter, which who knows who it's going to be. and then you're going to get Greinke again, and Greinke's not going to do well in game five. I want to say the Yankees in five.
Can they win a series in six or seven? Do you think they can win? Because right now it's lined up, and things can change, obviously, with going to guys on short rest. It's lined up to be Verlander and Cole in six and seven. Do you think the Yankees can win a game six or seven in Houston?
It makes it tougher, because that's why I think today's really important for the Yankees to win. And everybody, you know, the Astros went five games. It really ruined their starting rotation or how they lined it up. No, not really, because look who you have in game seven.
Right.
I mean, six and seven, Verlander and Cole. And they pitch very well at home. Yes, you can always win, but maybe you don't want to get to that point. So that's why I'll say Yankees in five.
Well, this will be fascinating to watch, and obviously we can watch you on the YES Network. They'll be doing pregame shows and supersized postgame shows, and I appreciate you coming on, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Enjoy Houston. Jeff Nelson, games one and two. YES will have Lorenz, Showalter, and Flaherty, and Jack Curry in the studio. They'll have Meredith, Michael Kay, Jeff Nelson, all at Houston, Minute Maid Park. And the postgame shows, or the pregame shows, will begin at 7 o'clock, and then they'll have a supersized postgame show after the last out of each game. And, of course, all of these games right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.